Today's reading is from the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with them. Since he intended to leave the next day, he continued speaking until midnight. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were meeting. A young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in the window, began to sink off into deep sleep while Paul talked longer. Overcome by sleep, he fell to the ground three floors below and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and, bending over him, took him in his arms and said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." Then Paul went upstairs, and after he had broken bread and eaten, he continued to converse with them until dawn. Then he left. Meanwhile, they had taken the boy away alive and were not a little comforted. This is the word of the Lord.
Dear friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Gracious God, let your good news today not be for the tickling of ears, but for the transformation of lives. Amen. So I'm going to tell you two quick stories to help set me up a little bit here. The first one is from my son, Noah. He's now a junior at St. Olaf, but this is when he was a freshman in college, or freshman in high school. And he read the book, The Scarlet Letter, by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Old book. Anybody know this book? Did you have to read it in high school? He read the whole book, and he came up to me and he said, "Okay, Mom, I read this dumb book," because you know how ninth graders reading old books are. He said, "I didn't get it at all." And I said, "Noah, do you know what the A stands for on Hester Prynne's smock?" And he's like, "Well..." And I said, "Well, it stands for adultery." And he's like, "Huh?" You know, he's like 14. Kind of innocent kid. And so I did finger puppets. I said, "This is Hester Prynne, and she's married to the colonel. The colonel goes off to war, and she meets the pastor, and they kiss, and voila, Pearl is born. And the colonel comes back, and you could just see the wheels, like, turning in his head, and he's like, "Wait, what?" That's the first story. The second story was a long time ago. When my kids were really little, I was at parent pickup at their school, and you had to wait outside the gym to pick the kids up. You know, they wouldn't just let you into the building until it was time. And so there was my little group of friends, and we were huddled all together. It was freezing outside, and we were kind of jumping around and talking when my friend right next to me went, "Pregnant!" Well, the next day, when we came back, this is like when Facebook had just started, she noticed on her Facebook page that somebody had written congratulations with the first ever baby emojis. And it wasn't somebody who was standing in our group. So we were all friends out there anyway, and she walked over to this other mom and she's like, "Hey, I just have to ask, why did you put like congratulations followed with these baby emojis on my Facebook page? Can you take it down?" And the lady's like, "Well, you said pregnant. I assumed that you were pregnant." To which she said, "Wait, what?" She said, no, you had to know what the question was." To which was, "What's the last thing I want to be? Pregnant." Did you see the common denominator, though? It's, "Wait, what? What just happened?" I tell you these two little stories to remind you that that is what life is filled with. Wait, what? Moments There are these jaw-dropping moments, and I can tell you this, if you're a parent or you're a grandparent or if you've ever been involved with a child who is about 4, maybe you've said this question too, like, wait, what? How did that noodle get up your nose? Does this sound familiar? Something like that? And if not with kids, you can just watch the news or listen to politicians speak, and you'll find yourself saying, wait, what? The Bible is no different. Here we encounter God or God's people in everyday life, in which when we read it or we hear it, our jaws might drop, and we go, wait, what? What did God just do? What did Paul just say? We get one of these stories today, a wait, what story with Paul in the book of Acts. Paul, as you heard in our pop quiz, was the first missionary. He was the first one to be sent out to go out throughout the world and be God's messenger, to teach people about Jesus, to hear these wait, what stories? Somebody died for me? How is that possible? We get his stories in the book of Acts, and today's story has 5 verses. And so I thought, well, let's look at each verse. It's pretty easy to do. It'll help you understand it a little more. So verse 7 says this, on the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with them, and since he intended to leave the next day, he continued speaking till midnight. Okay, first of all, who is we? Luke is the author of Acts, and he sometimes uses first person or third person, depending on if he's with Paul or Peter or not. So in this case, it's first person plural, we, Luke, the author, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke, is with Paul, and probably some of his cronies like Timothy. They are the people of Tros, or in the territory of Troy, modern-day Turkey. And Paul would have been speaking on the first day of the week. The first day of the week for these people, these new Christians, would have been Sunday. Ah, why do we worship on Sunday? But they would have been gathered in the evening because the first day of the week, they would have been working. It wasn't a Sabbath day yet. And Paul would have spoke with them until midnight. He wanted to spend as much time as he could with them. He probably would never get back to visit them. And they are hearing every, wait, what did Jesus just do kind of story. He turned water into wine. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. Can you imagine hearing that for the first time? I mean, it takes 7 times to learn something. So Paul probably did it over and over and over again, so they would know just how much God loved them. The next verse is this. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where they were meeting. That's it. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where they were meeting. But this is an important detail. So think of the largest room on a second floor building or house, the house you live in, the house you grew up in, your neighbor's house. The windows are all open. It's springtime in this story. We know that because Paul just had the Passover in the beginning part of this chapter. And there are kerosene lamps, gas lamps, oil lamps, whatever lamps, all lit. It's packed with bodies. It's hot. And there are probably people listening even outside the windows. That's the image I get when I hear that. And then here's what happens in the next verse. A young man, Eutychus, who was sitting in the window, began to sink into a deep sleep while Paul talked, and he became overcome by sleep, and he fell to the ground 3 floors and died. Have you ever been overcome with sleep? In a sermon? Thumbs up if you're still with me. I better see thumbs up. I've never fell asleep in a sermon, but I have fallen asleep in a movie where you just can't even keep your eyes open. It's hot. He's young. He falls asleep and falls out the window. Thank goodness we have new and improved window safety, right? So that means the shutters must not have been closed. They were open. And he dies. These lead to the last couple of verses. It leads to what Paul does next. It's a miracle. The people are witnessing God at work. Paul runs out and scoops up this young boy. He must have been quite young to be able to hold him. And it's almost like he says, "Shh, it's okay. Don't be alarmed. He has life in him." Okay, drop jaw moment, right? Wait, what? Paul handed over the young boy and went back to teaching, which seems like an odd thing to do since someone just died. But Paul knew. Paul was able to heal. God worked through him and in that young boy, and he was alive. Shh. He's okay. He has life within him. So here's what I want to close with. I'm sure you have your own, wait, what just happened moment. One that convicts you to believe that life is within you. And here's mine. I was a missionary. I served in a place called Madagascar, not the movie. It's a real island in the Indian Ocean, though there are lots of lemurs there. And I was a chaplain in the hospital. We lived in the provincial capital of Matzanga. I could see the Indian Ocean from my home, and yes, it's beautiful. The hospital, on the other hand, was at the entrance. There was only one way in and out from my city, unless you left by boat. There was only one road that came in. And that's where you would find this Lutheran hospital. There was a woman that came in one day. It was late in the afternoon, and she arrived on something called a chariot, which is just a cow and a cart. And she was pregnant. She also probably didn't weigh more than 80 pounds, skin and bones, malnourished, no money, so poor that we can't even wrap our heads around it, really. She was up from the next town where she was a town beggar, and somehow she found herself pregnant. She maybe had some mental illness. I don't know her whole story. I just know what she looked like that day. She delivered a baby boy, and literally he weighed about a kilo, maybe a little more, a little less, and he fit into the palm of my hands, full term. His face was, a couple quarters big. But he was alive, and he needed to eat. Now, hospitals in Madagascar don't have a cafeteria. Someone has to come with you to make food for you. And luckily, there was someone who cared enough to do that for this woman. But she could not take care of this baby, not for a while. All her strength and energy, no breast milk came. Most people thought the baby wouldn't make it through the night. And so I blessed them. And I thought when I would come in the next morning, this baby would have passed away. But to my surprise, there was no crying. You see, this is what happened. Every time
that baby cried in the middle of the night, another mother would scoop up that baby and nurse it. It was as God whispered in their ears, Salama izi, Fenu amni aina izi. It's gonna be okay. Life is in him. Life was in him because of these women who chose to share it until this mother could take care of her baby. Dear friends, that's where I leave you today. That in your daily life, that you look for those, wait, what just happened moments? And share your life with others because of who God is in your life. Amen.